Well, it's always hard to say with the protest, but Utah has finally, the public opinion polls show, Utah has shifted like the rest of the nation, and now the majority of Utahns do not support the war. So that feels really good to have been a part of that.
Yeah. Sergeant Marshall Thompson, thank you for joining us. We will continue to follow his journey. We are here in Salt Lake City. We head to Washington, D.C. Tonight we'll be at Listener Auditorium, George Washington University at 7 on this Earth Day. Tomorrow night in New York at the Community Church at 35 on East 35th Street. Then we move on to New Jersey and then to Los Angeles and then to St. Louis and then to Minneapolis. That does it for today's broadcast. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks so much for joining us.
And it's 6:01. You're listening to radio station WUSB Stony Brook. Time for Off the Wall. And we have an abbreviated show tonight because there's mass chaos going on outside in this place. Yes, the campus is being taken over by people, and our time here is limited, even as we speak. What am I talking about? Nothing too exciting, actually. It's another one of these sports activities, one of these sports games that they have here a lot. And there's a lot of people here. I couldn't find parking. I had to park so far away that it took me 20 minutes to walk here, which, you know, ordinarily is fine, but when you have to be on the air, you kind of want to make sure you're on time, and I just barely made it. But wow, I've never seen so many people filling the massive parking lots we have. And keep in mind, a few years ago, when I say a few years ago, I usually mean about 10 years ago, they didn't have parking lots the size that they have now. They've come such a long way in parking lot technology in the past 10 years. They really have. It makes you really proud. Used to be that there'd be a series of small parking lots. You know, a few of them, one for one building, one for another building. Sometimes the two parking lots would touch a little bit because the buildings are close together. But in between the parking lots, in between those parking lots, you'd have trees, you'd have grass, grassy hills people could sit on. You'd just have things that were not parking lots. Yeah, it was incredible. But now what has happened? And I'm not making this up. I am not making this up. This is really what has happened to this place. Basically, acres and acres of land have just been pretty much plowed and made into one huge, massive parking lot. And that's just in this one section of campus. And today that parking lot, my friends, is full. It is so full of people and cars and vehicles, and all because they're here to witness a lacrosse game. Actually, I think two lacrosse games that are going on. I think we're meeting Hofstra again. Don't they get the message by now? You know, we're better than them. We're better than them in so many ways. And I imagine that silly game with the stick where you're throwing a ball around, we're probably better at that too. But it's incredible how you can get so many people to turn out to watch other people playing with sticks and balls. You know, think about how much time is spent doing that. I've got nothing against organized sports, except for the fact that it's kind of dumb and waste a lot of time and kind of steers you away from the other things in life that you could be doing that are more constructive and actually maybe participating in something physical yourself. Other than that, no problems. A couple more problems. It's particularly in a place like this, a college campus, we spend such an inordinate amount of time and attention on organized sports when we should be paying attention to the academics. You know, we wouldn't have college football without the college, right? And college was sort of founded as an idea to make our young kids smarter because they were kind of dumb at the time before colleges were started. So someone came up with the idea that if we make these colleges, then our kids won't be quite so stupid and maybe they'd be worthy of having the problems that we've created passed on to them. I'm pretty sure that's how college was formed. So, you know, without that, you wouldn't have the basis for all these sports. it just seems like at this place, particularly at Stony Brook, we've just gotten so incredibly caught up in sports fever. So much so that they're talking about, I mean, they're not talking about, they're doing it. They're rebuilding the Athletic Center. Now, keep in mind, the Athletic Center is this massive complex that was built on top of the existing gymnasium, which, you know, as far as I'm concerned, that was fine. I came to this college in the late 70s, and they had basketball courts, they had a swimming pool, they had a place you could play football on the field, they had tennis courts, which are now a parking lot, and that was fine. That's if you're into sports, you could jog around the campus. There's all sorts of things you can do. But no, that wasn't enough for the sports people. They needed to build this massive complex on top of everything else. And now it's reached the point where they have to rebuild it. I don't know if things just age or if they have to fix the mistakes that they made the first time. It just seems like everywhere I go, sports things are being rebuilt. They're tearing down Shea Stadium, rebuilding it. City Field Complex is what it's going to be called. Yankee Stadium. They're keeping Yankee Stadium up. I just found this out the other day. They're keeping most of Yankee Stadium up and building another stadium across the street for the baseball and keeping the other one for God knows what. It used to be that the Jets would play at Shea Stadium and the Giants would play at Yankee Stadium, but now you can't have football and baseball in the same stadium. You got to build another stadium for that. So you have stadiums all over the place, and these stadiums only last a few decades, and they have to be either torn down or reconstructed. How does a stadium go bad? How does a sports complex go bad? I don't get it. I can tell you how society goes bad, by not taking care of things. I can tell you how this place is falling apart, because academic buildings aren't being taken care of. I can tell you that the conditions here are insane. We have 90-degree heat to deal with most of the time in the summer. Our equipment is falling apart as a result. And across the street, literally across the street, the best, only the best for the first-class citizens of the sports world. My goodness. But again, nothing against sports, nothing against organized sports. Just trying to put it all in perspective. And a little teed off because I had to walk 20 minutes to get to the show today. Anyway, hope everybody has fun tonight, whatever you're doing down there. We're going to talk about important things going on in the world today. Today is the day. Yes, the fundraiser is over, so the political campaign has begun again. Thank you, everybody, for not having any primaries or caucuses or anything like that while we were raising money for the radio station. That I think that the month off took... It was good for everybody. It really was. So, again, we're ready to resume now. Today is April 22nd. Time for the Pennsylvania primary. Yeah, the Pennsylvania primary. It's here. And this is supposedly, I love how it always happens on Tuesday, but this is supposedly the day where we decide what's going to happen already. Now, of course, we all know that's not going to happen. Basically, we did the calculations. In fact, we called the nomination for Barack Obama over a month ago. And, you know, the mass media still has not picked up on that off the wall called it for him. But if you do the mathematical calculations, it's not possible for Hillary Clinton to win unless something staggering happens, unless she starts winning 2-to-1 margins in every state that's left and all the superdelegates come over to her side. That could happen, I suppose. But it's not likely. So, tonight it's widely projected that Hillary Clinton will take Pennsylvania. It always has been. And Barack Obama will not win Pennsylvania, but because of the way the delegate counts work in the Democratic Party, it's not a winner-take-all situation. So if she gets, let's say, 55% and he gets 45%, that means she gets 55% of the delegates, he gets 45% of the delegates. In other words, she only gains 10% of, I believe, 158 delegates that Pennsylvania has. Not that many, not enough to catch up. He's over 100 delegates ahead. And certainly not enough to catch up in the popular vote either, if anybody cares about that. So, she has to win by an incredible margin tonight. We're not talking just 10%, but probably something on the order of 20%. Definitely has to be double digits. If it's not double digits, she's out. She has to realize this. I'm not saying this with glee in my voice, but aren't you tired of this? Aren't you tired of this back and forth that's been going on for so long, and we all sort of know where it's going? Kind of want to get on with the real contest, which is Obama versus Bush. I'm sorry, McCain. And that is going to be fun. I want to see them go head to head. Yeah, I want to see what McCain has up his sleeve. Actually, God, what an image. No, I want to see the issues really get discussed. Now, it's incredible to me. Did you hear this? Hillary Clinton said, I think she said it today, either today or yesterday, that if she wins, there is a place for John McCain in her administration. She's saying more good things about him than about Barack Obama, somebody who's supposedly in the same party as her. It's unbelievable. But I hear so many things that that tend to make me think that Hillary Clinton is a lot more right-wing than we should be comfortable with for anybody that has had enough of the right-wing over the last 8 years. She has got a new ad out, too, that that basically you see Osama bin Laden, and it looks like a Bush ad, basically calling on people to be afraid and to vote for her because, well, she was looking over Bill's shoulder for 8 years in the White House. How is that? How is that experience, being in the White House the same time as somebody else? It's not really the same thing as being president, is it? If we're going to accept that, okay, can we make a deal? If we're going to accept this, can we please make Yoko Ono a Beatle, all right? Let's just do that. I could live with it then. Wouldn't be the best of all worlds, but it would be a world that at least was consistent. All right, so Barack Obama still has to defend his remarks where he said that Pennsylvania voters were bitter and were clinging to religion and guns. I don't get it. I don't get why saying something like that is the worst thing in the world. I've talked to so many people in middle America who are bitter. Being bitter is a reality of life. I'm bitter at many times. I'm not clinging to guns or religion, but I am bitter a lot of times. And I don't think somebody recognizing that fact is necessarily patronizing. It depends on how you say it. It depends on what you say when people ask you questions about what you meant. And if you can't see middle America is obsessed with religion and is obsessed with guns, I don't think you're paying attention. And I kind of like the fact that somebody actually has the guts to say that. Now, would middle America like that? You know, I think middle America should like that. Because it means somebody's paying attention. Someone's paying attention to you and feeling your pain, or at least acknowledging your pain, and not just simply pretending that it's all okay and saying you're flag-waving proud Americans, which no doubt you are, but it goes so much deeper than this. But predictably, this has to be what everybody is talking about. Instead of talking about what we're going to do about this military action overseas, about what we're going to do to the people who started this, about what we're going to do to prevent it from happening again and again and again. All right, this report I just got last night, Hillary Rodham Clinton, they always say her middle name. Why do they do that? I guess maybe the maiden name thing, so that she's not associated with Clinton too much. They don't say Barack Hussein Obama very often, unless they're trying to make some sort of a point. But okay, Hillary Rodham Clinton vowed to take her cash-starved campaign. When you say cash-starved campaign, that really sort of puts a big L for loser over you, doesn't it? But in any event, she vowed to take her cash-starved campaign far beyond Tuesday's Pennsylvania primary, win or lose, saying she'll fight until voters in Florida and Michigan are seated at the Democratic convention. Wow. Even if she loses Pennsylvania, she's saying that she's going to continue. Can you imagine that? It's sort of like, you know, when somebody picture a Twilight Zone episode. No, I saw them. They were right there. My friends were standing right next to me. You have to believe me. I don't know where they went. I don't know why there's no record of them anywhere in the world, but they were there. I swear to God. Okay, Hillary. Let's get you seated down and have a nice cup of coffee and we'll talk about it. And over here, guys, with the rubber room or whatever, here she is. Go take her away. That's kind of what we're edging towards right now, where she's not seeing. Everyone around her sees what's going on, and she's not seeing it. Hillary, if you lose Pennsylvania, it doesn't matter. 100% of everybody could vote for you from that point on. I don't think there's a chance. But Florida and Michigan, that's going to be interesting. If she's going to cling to Florida and Michigan. And the way she's clinging to Florida and Michigan is simply, it's really surprising. Keep in mind, these are the two states that had their primaries earlier than the Democratic Party allowed. And as a result, As a result, the Democratic Party said your delegates aren't going to count. And they said this before the voting took place. So a lot of people didn't vote, or a lot of people voted in the Republican primary instead. Barack Obama's name wasn't even on the ballot in Michigan. So naturally, when his name's not on the ballot, he's not going to win. And Hillary actually wants that particular result to count. It just seems so sleazy. Nobody wants to pay for a new election. You know, it's unfortunate, but they knew what they were doing. They knew they were breaking the rules. They knew what the consequences would be. They did it anyway. So I don't really see solution to this. Unless, instead of rebuilding the sports center across the street, we pay for another election in Michigan and in Florida. You know, could probably pay for both with what they're paying to reconstruct the sports center. And then Stony Brook is on the map, you know, as saving democracy. Isn't that better than playing basketball or whatever it is they play over there? I swear, I've been in that building. Well, I've been in that building for the science fiction conventions, which I'm not having here anymore because they're rebuilding the complex. So I don't know. Maybe I'll never set foot in it again. Who knows? Okay. We've got a bunch of fun things to get into. Actually, let's read a couple of bits of mail. Because we always neglect the mail, and that's not something I like to do. Got a lot of lot to catch up on. Okay, how about this? Dear Emmanuel, how do I find that crazy song you played the other day about human barcoding? Okay, what you're talking about, actually, you know what? I have the song right here. I'm prepared. Can we bring it up? Yes. This song, actually, I played on Off the Hook, the other radio show. And I'm glad you brought it up, because I neglected to mention we were in such a rush to get out of there. Not that we were trying to get out of there, just in radio, you got to make way for the next people, and they're kind of aggressive, pushing us out sometimes. But this was actually a tribute to one of my favorite artists, the late, great Mikey Dread. And those of you who may remember back in the days of The Clash, he was a big part of them in their Sandinista days. And Bank Robber on Black Market Clash. One More Time in the Ghetto. Things like that. I don't wanna be the victim of Babylon Sissy. And he always had a most amazing voice. I don't wanna be the victim of Babylon Sissy. Babylon Sissy. Be the weakness to none of this weekend. I don't wanna be the weakness to none of them weekend. And this is from a more recent album too. With ethnic cleansing and cloning, soon they will start legislation for human barcoding. And unfortunately, Mikey Dread passed away only a couple of weeks ago in Connecticut. And it seems like so many people are leaving us lately. It's very sad, but Mikey Dread was always one of my favorites. In fact, he played a type of music that I simply am entranced with. I always am, called dub, where basically, for those of you who aren't familiar, it's kind of like an extension of reggae music where you just play instruments and have echo effects and sound effects and things like that. And it's great to drive to, it's great to listen to, it's great to write to. And Mikey was always somebody who was one of the best as far as that goes. So, yes, Mikey Dread, rest in peace. And thanks for bringing that up. This is a letter from Nicolau, who goes on to write, I used to live in Belo Horizonte, which is in Brazil. And this goes back to our discussion last week about the street names. I was reminiscing about the street names in my old neighborhood, where everything began with the letter S. Still does, in fact. I'm wondering if there are any other places in the world where themes might exist in the naming of streets. Well, Nicolau goes on to say, our streets were named under an astronomic thematic. I lived in Vega Street. We had streets Rajal, Sun, Haley, Earth, Universe. I am very pleased today that my school was at Laplace Street. My city was designed around 1900. It was encircled by the Contour Avenue. There are several areas in the original plan, newer ones where the streets were named under themes. There's a group of parallel streets named after the Brazilian states in the seaside in order, so it's actually quite useful. I guess you could learn a bit about where things are just by looking at the corresponding development. There's even an article in Portuguese Wikipedia about these street names. My neighborhood was Santa Lucia. And there was only one black neighborhood that I knew of in that region. Human barcoding. Get used to it. I must also mention a crossing near my university, and this is great. This is absolutely amazing, where Pi Street meets Sigma Street, the two preferred constants of three in every 3.14 mathematicians and engineers' dream, I suppose. This all reminds me of computer networks, where we also need to pick up a lot of names for machines sometimes. By the way, this is now Mikey Dredd from many years ago. Some real Dubwise style. When I was a kid, I remember seeing great names, but in college, I was always disappointed. I believe people started to often pick up silly and common themes, such as cartoon characters, like The Simpsons and Disney. And finally, I too hate large tubes of mayo. Yeah, that's a whole other rant I went on, isn't it? I like to think that there's all sorts of imagination out there as far as naming things, because, you know, you get to name things, you should come up with something good, something different, something eye-catching, not just the same thing over and over again. I mean, if you live on Maple Street or Maple Avenue or something like that, you should be angry. Because you could be living on something cool like, I don't know, Psychopath Drive. Imagine that. What's wrong with that? Or just something imaginative and unique. Same thing with names. Nothing against people named John. But come on. Come on already. We've heard it all. We've seen them all. Let's come up with something different. Just a slight variation. Or Bill, or Pete, or all these common names. Because you're not common people. That's right. Everybody's unique. Everybody is different. So shouldn't we all have unique and different names? All right. We believe that here at USB. Everybody here is unique and different. All right, what else? Okay, more mail to read. I enjoyed the show tonight. I also sometimes look back and wonder in what direction we're headed and why. One thing that instantly sprang to my mind is answering machines. I know that in one form or another, telephone recording devices have existed for a long time, but it seems to me that before the very early 80s, I had never heard of one, and then suddenly everyone had one. Yeah, this was about the time I was in middle school, so I can remember well the days when the only way to reach somebody was to make their phone ring while they were at home, that is. In only a few years, it came to be generally accepted. As you can see, Mikey Dredd loves sound effects. Oh yeah, we all do here. That was about the only time I was in middle school. I remember making the... Hey, Matt. Matt Mankiewicz is here. Say hi to the folks.
Hi, folks.
Grab that microphone. Matt, of course, one of the hosts of Brain Damage and many other things at this radio station. You're here for the lacrosse craziness downstairs, right?
Exactly.
What's going on down there?
Well, it actually is a special event. Uh-huh. It's called the Lacrosse for Autism event. Uh-huh. And Athletes Against Autism, which is an organization that pretty much is self-explanatory, is sponsoring an effort to raise autism awareness. Mm-hmm. And so it's attracted a pretty big crowd, besides which Stony Brook is playing a local rival, Hofstra, in both men's and women's lacrosse.
Asses. Why do they keep coming back?
You know, we beat them in overtime over there, and they just keep coming back.
They don't learn. They don't. I think they should spend more time in the academic buildings learning about, you know, not repeating history.
Yeah, well, here's something that I think you'll find very entertaining is that, you know, the grades on the Stony Brook club among the Stony Brook players have really been improving. I mean,
this is what I'm talking about, Matt. We should be comparing grades. Why don't we do that instead of having all these athletic events? Why don't we have like a playoff as far as you know, final scores and math exams?
They have that.
Yeah, how
yeah,
about
it's
that?
It's called the Dean's List. It's called Magna Cum Laude. It's Summa Cum Laude.
And why don't you guys come on at 6:45 on a Tuesday and compare scores of tests? I'd like that. You know,
well, when they hold commencement on Tuesdays, we'll do that.
All right.
But we do that. I do broadcast commencement. You know,
let's read the grades over the air.
Okay.
Huh? Yeah.
Well, that if you want. Well, actually, we do like to attract listeners. But
I can do that from this iMac right here.
Yeah, you could.
I could just access a few things, but yeah. maybe before we go.
Well,
off
hey,
the air.
Considering how wide open SOAR was a little while back, just type in your social and you had everything.
That's right. Social security numbers.
Yeah.
Boy, we could learn quite a bit of.
I think that I hope they fixed it. Actually, I heard.
I could find that out too. But you know, I've had the feds raid this place once already. Not need to do that again. well, Matt, you probably have a lot of work to do as far as getting the getting the teams together.
Yes. So we will see you in about 19 minutes or so.
All right. Good seeing you again. Matt Mankiewicz here on the WUSB. We'll be hearing from him about 6:45. Okay. Continuing with this letter with Mikey Dredd in the background. So, yes, remembering the days when you used to have to make someone's phone ring to get their attention. In only a few years, it came to be generally accepted that one could be reached at any hour on the machine, no matter where you were, and shame on you if you didn't listen to your messages promptly. Something like, the rehearsal was changed from 4:30 to 3 o'clock today. I left it on your machine this morning, so you have no excuse for missing it. And that became an all-too-common thing to hear. It's only gotten worse. I experimented with deactivating voicemail on my phone a few years ago, only to be accosted by family members and a couple of friends who felt unduly inconvenienced, I guess. These days, I have freelance clients who get a little upset because I can't do instant work for them while I'm at my day job, something I'll never understand. Getting back to the street name topic, I may know of the best naming scheme ever. Okay, let's listen to this one. An aunt of mine used to live in a trailer park in Belton, Missouri, which is sort of a distant suburb of Kansas City, in which all the streets were named after characters on the TV show Dallas. Okay, yeah, it was a trailer park, so I'm not sure the municipality considered the streets, but it's funny all the same. This is what I'm talking about. Okay, you know, Dallas, maybe not my favorite thing, but at least it's something different. And when you consider that 100 years from now, maybe not in a trailer park, but in a development certainly, those streets will probably still exist. Long after every living creature on this earth has totally forgotten what Dallas ever was. That's kind of cool. And on a side note, I received one of those dreaded letters yesterday, the kind that sincerely apologizes that my full name, address, social security number, and all records of coursework were accidentally placed on the college's public website.
Dread up the control.
It's sort of too bad that for most people, network means website. It makes discussing the problem and any remedy difficult. So good job, Hunter College. I think they have a comp sci department. Maybe they should ask some freshmen what all this networking stuff is about. And I didn't even get offered a year of complimentary credit monitoring service, the whole 2 cents that's worth. What really pisses me off is that I wasn't even a real student there. I took a couple of classes I was interested in a few years ago just for the hell of it. The price of a curious mind. Thanks, Nick, for writing that enlightening letter. And we were also talking about listening to distant stations or watching distant television. Well, I was talking about doing that when I was a kid, growing up in my S section here in the Stony Brook area. Well, back when I was a small child, I also used to try to get TV channels from distant places, but here in Germany, in Bavaria to be precise, they literally were from different worlds. In our region, we had 3 official transmissions on channels 55, which was ARD, channel 28, ZDF, and channel 59, which I can't pronounce, but I'll try, Bayerisch Fernsehen. Just have mercy on me. The first 2 were and still are national programs, which are the same for people no matter where they are. The 3rd channel is a regional one for Bavaria. And we also got the ARD on channels 4 and 6, I believe. What was more interesting, though, were the foreign stations. We did have our antenna set up to get ORF1, which is the Austrian first program on channel 8. The picture wasn't very good, but it was good enough for many people in Bavaria to watch ORF1 instead of German commercial channels for movies. Oh, Mikey. Getting the benefit of no commercial breaks. And with some tinkering, we even got ORF2 on channel 32 when we placed an antenna in the middle of the room. We also got Czechoslovakian and Chechen television on channel 36 and somewhere near channel 8. But they transmitted in a different standard, so you typically had no audio and a monochrome picture. We actually had no commercial television until we got our satellite dish in 1992. This suddenly opened the way to commercial television and foreign television. Suddenly, I was able to get channels like the Children's Channel, a channel so far away it was in a different time zone. And even more amazing, when they signed off, they shared the transponder with a Japanese station. Even today, in times where you can get CubaVision at a touch of a button on a 50 euro satellite set, there are still things which are hard to get. How can I be expected to talk over this? It's pure magic is what it is. Now, for example, the BBC is being forced by license issues to use a so-called spot beam to sharply focus its signal to the UK. However, the focus is not that sharp, so with a large enough dish, you can still get Doctor Who in some parts of Europe. And some people are even weird enough to get a 4.5-meter dish in order to receive North Korean television. Now, furthermore, there are still U.S. military satellites. They're typically also easy to be received. And you can see all kinds of frequency lists if you go to www.uhf-satcom.co.uk/UHF. Those satellites are commonly used by satellite pirates as they have no security. Satellite pirates. Something makes me feel really good knowing they're out there. You just send your signal up there, it comes down again. Is that all there is to it? You send your signal up there and it comes down again. I like that. Someone hook me up with pirate satellite. I'd really like to be a part of this. In fact, sometimes you can even hear radio stations on them which get picked up by the satellite. Sometimes Russian phone links also get picked up by it. Thanks, Cassandra, for sending us a very enlightening bit of mail. So yeah, it's so great to hear people. Hear their viewpoints on the radio show. If you'd like to be a part of that, please give us a call. Send us email. I'm sorry, I have the mediums mixed up. Send us email, and then we'll read your letter on the air, if it's good, and if we have time. Our address, otw@2600.com. Okay, it's 34 minutes after 6 o'clock, abbreviated show, like I said. Let's see if we can reach somebody. Can we get, a dial tone? All right, is that working? Good. Dial the 9. All right. See if we can reach a correspondent in Pennsylvania. See how the primary is going.
Hello.
Hello, Bernie.
Oh, hi.
Hey, it's Emmanuel. Now, I understand that you have a very critical meeting going on at this moment, so we wanted to know if you could spare a moment or two, or if you'd get in trouble for talking to us on the phone.
I guess I'll have to be brief, so
okay.
I can talk with you a moment.
Very brief is what we'll shoot for then. Now, you live in Philadelphia, and I just found out recently that actually also makes you a Pennsylvania resident, which means that you might have some knowledge as to what's going on today in the Pennsylvania primary.
It's been a crazy day here, Emmanuel.
Uh-huh. Now, you are aware there is a Pennsylvania primary today.
Yeah, it's the last big state primary.
Uh-huh.
And it's been crazy. There's fans going all over the city with loudspeaker horns saying, vote for Hillary, vote for Obama, that sort of thing.
Yeah, so there's a sort of excitement in the air.
Very much. I haven't seen an election like this for years.
Uh-huh.
So I went to the polls about an hour and a half ago.
Uh-huh. Did you vote for McCain?
There were a lot of people lined out front trying to get people to vote one way or the other. And I went, and I had no problems voting, unlike last time where they couldn't find my name in the book.
Yeah.
So I cast my votes, and there were a lot of other votes, a lot of other things up on this election. There were state representatives, attorney general for the Pennsylvania.
So you vote for more than just the nominee for the Democratic Party. You vote for other things as well.
That's right. There are a couple of ballot initiatives for the city, that sort of thing.
Uh-huh. Okay. You okay?
Excuse me. Yeah, I've got a bad cloth.
All right.
And there's a... Whenever I vote, I have to take notes on what I'm going to vote on. It's too complicated. You only have 3 minutes in the voting booth.
You only have three minutes? They time
you? So I have to go through and do some research for about an hour at least.
Wait a minute, Bernie. They actually time you in the polling booth.
Well, it wasn't so busy when I got there, but they said it was a three-minute limit. I think I made it just under the wire.
Wow, what happens if you don't? They just pull open the curtain and say that's it?
It's a good question. They probably say, hey, get out of there. Hurry up.
Wow, okay. Well, okay, so now you are in and out. How long do you have to wait to actually get to the polling station?
5 minutes.
Okay.
There was a line of about 15 people.
All right.
So there are two booths in my precinct.
Uh-huh. Now, I imagine you've been polling people all day long to find out just where their sympathies lie. And based on that scientific method, what would you say the chances of either Hillary or Clinton, or Barack Obama winning would be?
Clinton was thought to be to just sweep Philadelphia, but I don't think that's going to happen. I think she'll still win it, but by a much slimmer margin here in Philadelphia. And Philadelphia and Pittsburgh are the two metropolitan areas, and you got a big rural area in between.
Now, I would think that Obama might win the cities. Is it because the mayor of Philadelphia came out in support of Hillary Clinton?
Very much so. Very much so.
Interesting.
So I think it's going to be close. I think the other thing you have to watch out for when you vote is you have to vote for the delegates. You can't just vote for the candidates.
Right.
It's the delegates to vote for. People don't realize we don't live in a democracy. We live
no.
in a constitutional republic. So you have to pick delegates.
Why don't you tell us what delegate you voted for, and we'll have to figure out who you actually voted for from that.
I don't remember. I wrote down the names on a piece of paper, and that's it. Hey, I have to run, Emmanuel. I'm in a meeting.
Okay. Well, thank you for filling us in on the fun night going on in Pennsylvania.
Okay.
We'll see you tomorrow on Off the Hook.
Thanks. Take care. Bye-bye.
All right. Bernie S. there, reporting to us live from Pennsylvania, where tonight is primary night, or today is primary day, or some such thing. And by this time tomorrow, we'll probably be talking about the same thing, I guess. But I think at least I'll have a better sense as to just where things are going. Like I said, if Clinton does not get 10 points, a 10-point spread on this... Hey, is there any gambling going on? Is there? I'd like to get in on this because a 10-point spread is what she needs to even stay alive. And less than that, it's just not going to happen. All right. Well, as I said, this is an abbreviated show, so we only have a couple of minutes left. Let's quickly go over some of the highlights of the news, which I am paying attention to this week. This is the story of the year, I think. And this didn't even make the news. This really didn't make the news at all. The headline is Misfired Artillery Crashes into Girl's Bed. This happened in New Jersey. A piece of artillery that was apparently misfired by the military crashed through the roof of a New Jersey home, miles away from where they fired it, by the way, and fatally wounded a young girl's cat. Can you imagine that? Your cat is in your room, hanging out, and some piece of artillery comes through your roof and kills it. And this is part of a day in America. This is normal. You didn't hear about this. This is not front page headlines or news or anything like that. Well, no humans were injured when the 2-pound piece hit the Jefferson Township home, about 2.5 miles from the Picatinny Arsenal, and landed in the girl's bed. She wasn't home, but the cat was sleeping on the bed. Can you imagine? You can't even have a peaceful day at home. You can't leave your cat in your room without the risk of the military firing upon you and destroying part of your life. It's unbelievable. I don't know why this isn't a big story, right? Why this isn't a big deal. I mean, you feel like you're safe and things can literally fall on your head. It's one thing to be invading countries, but to be firing things on at your own country and messing up like this. I just hope, there's some massive lawsuit here. Not that any money can replace a beloved pet, but wow. And, oh, get this. This is bad news. Looks like Newsday is on the way out. Well, maybe that's not such bad news, but no, they not the worst paper in the world, but what's happening to them now is worse than death. They're getting bought by Rupert Murdoch? Oh my God, is there anything he doesn't own? Unbelievable. The Chicago Tribune currently owns Newsday, and they want to sell it to New York Post owner Rupert Murdoch for $580 million. And that would mean that Murdoch would own two television stations in New York City, Channel 5 and Channel 9. He'd own the Wall Street Journal. He'd own, of course, Fox News. He'd own the New York Post. And he'd own Newsday. I mean, it's unbelievable what's going on here. It's just too much media conglomeration in the hands of morons. Maybe this will spur another paper to start. That would be nice. Although, in this day and age, I don't think papers are very much... The kind of entity that survives. Oh well. Well, with that depressing news, unfortunately, we're going to have to talk about the end of our survival here tonight because we're out of time. But let's not go out on a totally negative note. Let's dedicate this to all those people out there who live without a semblance of hope. Hopeless, if you will. And don't pay attention to the positive things of life. One word for you. Sayonara.
You are now listening to a WUSB sports broadcast as the Stony Brook Seawolves take on Hofstra at the Laval Stadium. And now, Matt Mankiewicz and Frank Barilli with the call.
Thank you very much, Brian Weigold. You'll be hearing from Brian throughout this broadcast of Stony Brook Seawolves lacrosse, but we're live from Laval Stadium on the campus of Stony Brook University. It is time for the Stony Brook Seawolves to take on the Hofstra Pride in a very special event, a men's and women's doubleheader. The women played earlier, Stony Brook and Hofstra, and won by a score of 14-10. So the men are looking for the sweep and possibly also getting an edge in the overall season series between the Stony Brook Seawolves and Hofstra Pride. They are standing at 2-2. Each team is 1-1 at each other's building. And so Stony Brook, of course, winning the last one on an overtime goal by Owen Adams. Of course, that was his career high, 4 on the night, and that was 13-12, and that was a huge win for Stony Brook leading into the closing week of the American East schedule. Same situation again for the Seawolves. They will be playing Albany on Saturday, but this is a non-conference game that has some meaning for them, could have some meaning in the rankings, but definitely has some meaning in terms of bragging rights and recruiting, Frank.
Absolutely. There's always something on the line for the annual Hofstra and SB showdown. Like you just said, Hofstra's number 20 right now. You can get a chance to knock off a top 20 team here at home on a nice Tuesday night game. Sure, you can shoot right back into the rankings. Recruiting implications on the line. A lot of Long Island kids out there watching right now, sitting in the stands here. Of course, you want to play for the better team, or you want to at least try to. So the 2-2 tie in the series definitely has kept things very close between these two teams, especially as evidenced by the 13-12 overtime game last year. First few games in this series were a couple of blowouts going in either direction, but last year, overtime game, Hofstra went up 12-9. Stony Brook catches up in the last few minutes of the fourth quarter and puts one in with a minute and a half left in the started into overtime. So I expect another close one this year. Hofstra's pretty good. They've been up and down. Stony Brook's been predictable. They've beaten the teams that we thought they were going to beat.